Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello, this is the podcast for November the 22nd. I'm Julia Slater. We'll start with some of the top stories of the week in Switzerland. One of Switzerland's major companies announced a massive loss as a result of the subprime crisis in the US. Zurich-based Swiss Re, the world's largest reinsurer, said it had had to write down over $1 billion. The news led to a 10% drop in its share price. Whether shares go up or down, one group which doesn't seem to be affected by company performance are top executives. That's according to the sustainable investment fund Ethos. The Swiss are notorious for keeping secret details about how much they earn. Talking about salaries is frowned upon in the country, whether you're a low-paid or a top-wage earner. But Ethos has taken it upon itself to reveal the salaries of the bosses of the leading Swiss companies in an effort to increase transparency for shareholders. Matt Allen reports on who's in the money.
Switzerland's biggest firms like Novartis, UBS and Nestle have been accused of keeping shareholders in the dark about executive pay packages that soared 16% on average last year. At a news conference in Zurich, Ethos accused company boards of failing to reveal the full details of complicated shares and options packages. It also said bosses have too much say in how much they take home. Ethos director Dominic Biedermann.
When you make a comparison to countries like Britain, Sweden and the Netherlands, where shareholders can vote on pay politics, then Switzerland is not very transparent, but it fares better when up against Germany, Italy or Spain.
On average last year, executives of Swiss firms took home 2.3 million francs, with Novartis chief Daniel Vassella, who is both CEO and board chairman, topping the list with 44 million. 41 million of that was awarded in shares. Ethos is concerned that the value of performance-related bonus packages, usually in the form of shares or options, are often missing from company reports. But Biedermann said many managers could lose a large chunk of this variable component.
The results of many Swiss companies, including those in the banking sector, will not be as good as last year. So one expects that the salaries will be reduced, though at present it's difficult to judge by how much. But it's obvious a large part of the variable component will disappear.
Ethos believes that recent and forthcoming changes to stock exchange rules and a self-regulatory Swiss code are a step in the right direction. But it is still calling for tougher regulations to give shareholders more of a say.
That was Matt Allen. Climate change is rarely out of the headlines in Switzerland as anywhere else. Switzerland is aiming to reduce its greenhouse gases and next year is introducing a tax on heating oil and gas. But many companies are afraid that this will make them uncompetitive. The Federal Environment Office announced this week that nearly 1,000 have applied for an exemption. Not that this is a license to pollute. If they don't pay the tax, they have to agree to reduce their emissions. But they can make money by selling the savings they make. Environment Office head Bruno Oberle explained to Swiss Television the kind of companies they were.
A lot of companies are involved, almost all the major producers of greenhouse gases, and a number of other businesses which want to use the opportunity to become more efficient and also to earn money.
Ballet lovers will have been saddened on Thursday to hear of the death of Lausanne-based choreographer Maurice Béjart. Béjart, who celebrated his 80th birthday earlier this year, was one of the most influential choreographers of the 20th century, revolutionising classical ballet. He was actually French, but moved to Switzerland in 1987, where he founded the Béjart Ballet Lausanne. Now, here are some of the stories that didn't make the headlines. Wolves have been making their way into Switzerland for the last 10 years or so, and it was confirmed this week that the wolf is now back in Canton Fribourg after an absence of 170 years. It wasn't a total surprise. There had been reported sightings back in spring, but DNA tests have now proved beyond doubt that there's a wolf around. And a cheeky one too, At the end of October, it attacked a flock of sheep only a few hundred yards away from the village of Bellegarde. If you're out walking in wolf country, maybe a Swiss Army knife would come in handy. Among the blades and screwdrivers on the latest knife to enter the Guinness Book of Records, there's surely something to scare off carnivores. Hang on. No, that one's for dismantling my watch. Bother, that's the torch. Maybe the laser. If only I can find it. If it isn't wolves, it's young people with plastic hammers and clubs. Visitors to Burns Onion Market at the end of November are used to being attacked with these toys and take it in their stride. But it seems that the custom is getting out of hand, and this year the police are cracking down. The larger versions of the plastic weapons will not be on sale, and the police will confiscate any offending items. It's not only wolves that are invading Switzerland. Maybe it's not even safe to stay at home. Scott Kappa has the details.
There was a red back on the toilet seat when I was there last night. I didn't see him in the dark, but boy, I felt his bite.
The redback in the song is a highly venomous Australian spider. No, it isn't one of the unwelcome species that have invaded Europe over the years. But of course, when the news broke, many people feared the worse. The main author of the report, zoology professor Wolfgang Nenfig at Bern University, told me why we have nothing to worry about, even if most of the eight-legged creatures we live with, domestic and foreign, are poisonous.
All spiders, apart from a few exceptions, have venom glands, which basically means all spiders are poisonous to their victims, which usually means small insects. Humans are no targets of spiders in no case. We have a rather thick skin, and to be able to penetrate this skin, the mouth parts of the spiders have to have a given size, which means the spider has to have a given size, which usually is above 10 millimeters body length. Smaller spiders have no chance to bite us.
Well, that's a relief. But how did they get here? Nentvik told me that the 87 species that have invaded Europe over the past 150 years include many animals reoccupying areas they left during the last ice age. In a sense, they are very slow moving, travelling only 1 kilometre a year. But man is to blame for the lion's share of the invasion, since spiders piggyback on global trade.
Continents today are connected via transports of goods, of all kinds of goods. There are always 100,000 of containers being moved from Australia to Europe or South America. And we receive not only the goods, but also everything which is attached to these containers. There is a bit of dirt, there are plant seeds, there are insects, of course spiders, or the eggs and cocoons of these creatures. And in this way, they finally arrive in other continents than their native ones, which means also in Europe.
One example seen in various parts of the world was the South American banana spider, a rather aggressive animal with a nasty bite that used to hitch a ride with the fruit. Fortunately, this is no longer the case. Nenfig says scientists are not yet certain whether the invasion is a good or a bad thing, since they have not yet found any measurable impact on biodiversity. But the news of the invasion may have people having another look at the toilet seat before they make themselves comfortable.
I said, just forget what's on your mind and call a doctor, please, 'cause I've got a feeling that your cure is worse than the disease.
Thanks, Scott. More details on the spider invasion and some of the other stories you've just heard can be found on our website, www.swissinfo.ch. And that's also where you can give us your opinion on our audio service. Thanks for listening to the Swiss Info podcast. I'm Julia Slater.